Welcome back to Don't Tell Amu. I'm Raiba. And today we have Noshin here. Hey, Noshin.
Hi, guys. I thought I was going to introduce myself.
I know, I saw you open your mouth. Do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Well, I'm Noshin. I've been on this podcast like twice before.
Oh my God. She's been on this more than anyone else.
And I'm sorry.
It's
Everyone's
okay.
Sick of me.
No, everyone loves you. I think every episode that you've been on has done well, so...
Yeah, it's all because of me.
Noshin is a really close friend of mine. We met, I don't know where we met, or it's really unclear when we became friends, because Noshin and her lovely brother always do this thing where, like, we'll, like, talk about our friendship, and they'll be like, I'm so glad we just became friends. Like, no, we became friends, like, 3 years ago,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, I think it's because, okay, every time we hang out, I feel like we get closer, and so every time we hang out, we're like, oh, we're finally close.
Yeah.
It feels like every last time we hung out, we weren't as close.
That's fair.
I genuinely cannot remember when the first time we interacted was.
I honestly think, oh my God, this intro is getting too long, but I honestly think it was at Farhib's house, where it was me, Raheek, you, and Alvi, and we found out that each of our siblings had the exact same age difference. And we
Oh my God. Okay, so Raiba has the same birthday as my brother, mm-hmm. and his
brother has the same birthday.
Did your mic just change?
Yeah.
And her brother has the same birthday as me.
Yeah. And so, well, like, I'm exactly a year and a half apart from Raheek, and she's exactly a year and a half apart from Alvi. So,
yeah. And we're both, like, really close to our brothers.
Yeah. So that's exactly why I asked her to be on the podcast, because of that.
Because of my brothers?
Yeah. Because of her brother. Yeah. This actually leads into our topic really well. Anyways, let's roll the intro. So anyways, today we have some pretty big topic. Wait, I just want to say something really quickly. Thought about this in the shower earlier today.
Yeah.
So, this has nothing to do with anything, but when I was in fourth grade, we had a class spelling bee. I always prided myself in being a really good speller. And is that a word, speller?
Yes.
Okay.
Spell it. We'll find out.
And so it was a class spelling bee, and it got to the point where it was just me and one other person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is it. I got it. And I was so excited. My friends were rooting for me. And
Known to be like better than that other person?
I was being a little cocky about it. I was like, I got this. Like, I made it this far. I got it. And the word was Phoenix, which is the city we live in.
Oh my God.
And the whole class was like, oh, she got this in the back. Like, this is it for her. Like, she got this. But the thing is, I have this really weird thing. I don't know if other people have this, where I always mess up F and P. Like, the phonetic sound.
F and P. I thought, like, you were going to say O and E.
Huh?
I feel like that makes more sense. Like, the order. The order in the word.
No, I, like, have the O and the E. Like, I have that down. But for some reason, like, F is, like,
You spelled F. Phoenix with an F?
I thought, like, I know how to spell Phoenix, right? I know how to spell Phoenix. Like, it's P-H-O-E-N-I-X. But I started, I was like, F-H-O-E-N-I-X.
Oh,
and I was confident about it, because I was like, I got it. I thought I spelled
Raiba.
It. Like, and they were like, wrong. And I was like, what? I just spelled it correctly. What do you mean? They're like, no.
You said that? You actually said that?
Yeah, I was like mad. I was like, I spelled it right. And they're
everyone
was like,
so dumb.
The second, I know.
Oh my God.
Like, the class, like, the second I started with F was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
But does that happen to anyone else? Like, has that happened
to
you? Like,
no. F and I would get other, like, for me, I feel like I would always, when I was younger, I would always mix up, like, the E and the O. I would think it's E-O instead of O-E. Because I just, like, visually, like, I just couldn't figure out which one's first. Because neither of them sound like it. Like, there shouldn't be an O in there. But that's why I couldn't figure out where to put it.
Okay, I think it was the PH and F for me that mixed it up.
Really?
Not the, just, yeah, because PH is not, like, P is supposed to be P instead of F. Anyways, that was like the biggest L I ever took. That really humbled me. Like, I got humbled when I was like
really?
9 years old.
Are you humble?
No. I still think, I went back.
Would you say you're a cocky person?
People
I feel like you're pretty humble, actually.
I feel like it depends on what it is. I feel like I think the thing about cockiness is like people see through cockiness, and when people are cocky about something, they're usually masking their insecurity.
Yeah.
And like,
and what so insecurities are you masking right now?
Like when I'm, oh my God, I'm gonna talk about this, and the whole boy band's gonna be like, Ryla, it's okay. We love you. Every time I talk about anything, they all message me and they're like, hey,
that's girl, so it's nice. Okay.
I know you say you're bad at Valorant, but we love you for it. It's okay.
Oh, is that your biggest insecurity?
No. I think like just like I'm surrounded by a lot of really, really, really smart CS kids.
Yeah.
And so I tend to get insecure about that sometimes.
Dude, I feel like it's just the community that we're in. We're with such smart people all around us. And they're so hardworking. And I don't know about you, but actually, you're one of the more hardworking people that I know. Whereas do not have the work ethic that you have. So I feel like that's like my biggest insecurity.
Honestly. Really? I feel like you're pretty hardworking.
I feel like I'm hardworking when I want to be, but I can't just like put my mind to something and get it done. Like I have to actually enjoy it, which isn't a lot of things.
You know what drives me? You've seen me sort of unfortunately becoming a workaholic this past, in like 2020, right? Yeah. Where I would like show up to her group calls crying because I was just overstressed.
She would literally cry because of work. We're like having a fun conversation and Ryla just like goes out of the frame and we're like, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, sorry guys, sorry. And then later the next day she's like, oh, sorry, I was crying. And we're like, why didn't she just talk to us? Like she wouldn't talk about it. She would just go out of the frame.
Oh my God.
We were watching a movie and she was like just going out of the frame constantly.
I overworked myself during the summer, and so that took a really big toll on my mental health. I don't have an amazing work ethic inherently. It's more that I'm driven by the fear of being fired. Like I always think I'm gonna get fired for everything. And so I just would do everything anyone would say all the time. Like I had no boundaries at a certain point because I was like, if I don't do it, I'm gonna get fired.
But honestly, that comes with the territory of working at a startup. Like, if you're not valuable, like, that's it.
If you're not constantly contributing, they just don't have, like, a purpose for you. They're not going to try to coddle you or make you useful. Like, they're just going to kick you out. So that was why. But that's why I work so hard. It's because I just don't want to get fired. But yeah, I feel like I try not to be cocky. I fake a lot of confidence all the time.
Well, it works. Like honestly, the reason I think you're humble is because I didn't realize you worked for the FBI until like years later.
Wait, I didn't work for the FBI.
What do you? Well, okay, sorry. I didn't realize you worked for the police department. No, because I mean, you were like solving crimes and stopping human traffickers. And I didn't even know about this till years after. Like, and it's not like we weren't friends. Like, I just didn't know about it till way later. I feel like if there were anyone else, they'd be like trying to brag about it and like trying to put it into every conversation that they have. But you don't do that, which I like. I can't. That's one of my biggest
pet. You hate cocky people?
I hate cockiness. I hate it. It's really, really, like, it's really unattractive.
Yeah.
Confidence is something that I'm really attracted to. And there's, like, such a thin line between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, really difficult to kind of gauge someone right away. Because sometimes they seem cocky. And then you get to know them and it's like, okay, they're really not.
Yeah. You can talk. It's like, if you talk about your achievements for 5 minutes, you're confident. And then you keep talking about it for like 10 more minutes. At that point, you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
You're like, enough. Like, we've all done something good. Like, shut up. I'm just kidding. you're a very humble person too. Noshin is actually almost done with her PhD. Which she never ever
did.
Inshallah, inshallah, mashallah. Like, she's so smart and she's so accomplished. And you never talk about it. You just say dumb shit all day. You never talk about it.
I really do. I feel like when I talk, people are like, who is this dumb girl? Like, where did she come from?
You know who Noshin would be? Noshin would be like the girl in the sorority who is secretly super smart, but she just never talked about it. Like
the token brown girl that's trying to hide the fact that she's like kind of smart.
And trying to fit in with all the white girls. Yeah, that's exactly you. Noshin and I also talk about this a lot. We have kind of a bond over, you know, where we want to take our careers in the future. We both love jobs that are oriented toward people. Like, it's like people jobs. Like, I feel like we'd love HR. Like, none of us would.
We would love that. Can you imagine being a recruiter? We would excel at that. Like taking interviews, like talking to people, going out to different schools and like finding talent. Like we would absolutely thrive in that environment.
Yeah. Cause first of all, you have a little bit of power because you're the recruiter and everyone wants to please you.
That's exactly why both of us want that job.
But we're too like, we're too far into, you know, all this engineering crap that we can't dare be like, hey, Abu, I want to be an HR representative. Like, that sounds like such a dope ass job that I feel like my parents would be like, really? Like, after really? All this?
After all this, yeah. You're going to go all the time and money that you spent on this education.
You're going to go be HR? That. Yeah. all the fun jobs are looked down upon in a Disney
really
household.
Yeah, like honestly I feel like what I really would want to do is like teach like little kids. But first of all, I'd be broke. Like can you believe that? Like the people that have taught you everything, you know, like obviously not everything you know, but like how to like read, basically how to write, like they don't get paid at all. Like how is that fair?
Oh yeah, teachers don't get paid enough, that's for sure. But I think you'd be a fantastic teacher, honestly.
I would love that. I love working with kids. I love teaching, and that just would be like my dream job.
And you never know what little kids are gonna do. It's like a new thing every day.
Yeah, and I feel like it's really cool because you could kind of like form bonds with those kids, and then like years later, like they'll like come visit you, and they'll tell you like where they're at in life, like.
That's beautiful. I still remember all of my like first grade, second grade teachers. Yeah. I really did. I think I learned the most in elementary school because I feel like I just absorbed everything.
Is it just me? I don't remember middle school at all. Like I remember elementary school really vividly and high school, but middle school, I just like can't remember anything about it.
I feel like middle school was a start of all the drama, all like the puberty problems where I just did not care or focus on school all that much. And so
you had drama in middle school?
That's when people started dating. Seventh grade, I remember seventh grade is when people started dating. And I was so invested in everyone's story. What? Yeah. That was like when everyone's got their like first like girlfriend or boyfriend.
That's also something in common that we have is that we're always told about the drama and we're always somehow in the middle of it, but we're never the drama.
We're never involved directly in the drama.
We just hear about it from different people.
We're the side character all the time.
We like know everyone's secrets, but we're never the people that the secret is about.
That I never even thought about it like that. Dang, that's really sad. But well, look,
God, I feel like it's honestly so much less pressure. Would you want your life to be filled with drama? I wouldn't.
At this point, dude, yeah.
Do you need some drama in your life, Russ?
I'm so sick and tired of, when there's drama, I'm like, ugh, I don't want this. This is too much. Like, I want my boring ass life back. But like secretly in the back of my head, I know that I'm thinking that this is like.
You're enjoying it?
Thank God for this. This is the only spice in my life. Yeah, this is the only spice in my life. Like anything that happens nowadays, I'm like, oh my God. Like, yes, I'll be involved in anyone's drama. Like anyone's drama. Like, yeah, let me give my 2 cents on something that I know nothing about.
You should have like an advice section of Don't Tell Amu where people tell you their drama and you just try to give them advice.
But it's just like the worst advice ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about advice is like it applies to everyone except yourself.
Yeah. It's so easy to give good advice, like solid advice, but it's so hard to take your own advice when you're in the exact same situation that you're advising on.
100%. Let's talk about growing up a girl in a Desi household.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
Let's set the scene first. Okay. So what we want to talk about is a double standard between girls and boys. And I just want to preface it by saying that there's always a good side and a bad side to culture, and there are many perspectives, and I think the double standard exists on a spectrum, and so we're kind of just going to talk about it in a more general sense, like the sort of traditional cultural double standard that is pervasive all throughout Desi communities, all sorts like Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, whatever. And I also want to say that me and Noshin are not, you know, we don't have the worst of it. People definitely have it worse than we do.
Definitely.
We're not oppressed. We have fantastic parents. Yeah. We've also heard many stories. We've also experienced parts of it. It's really weird because I feel like part of me feels very privileged that I have really great parents, but I also see certain aspects of my life being like, why am I, this is unfair for me. And why does like my brother get like an advantage in this? But we're also going to talk about, you know, like the progress that has been made in our,
because
you know,
it's been quite a lot of progress, but I feel like you and I have had to work hard for that. It didn't just happen naturally. Like we had to really, really like ask for what we want, tell them why it's unfair, and really fight our way for
it. Because the thing is, our parents grew up with these traditions and values. Like it was embedded in their upbringing. And so it's kind of passed down to us, although our parents are sort of, you know, they learn from, you know, living in this like new generation with us. Mm-hmm. And they sort of, it's sort of a mix of like a new cultural standard and also like the old traditional standard.
Yeah, because they have a really hard job because they want to teach us our culture. But obviously with that comes a lot of negative sides as well. Mm-hmm. And so like picking and choosing what they should be okay with and what they should try to change from their parents, it's a really difficult thing to do. And I'm sure we'll have to do that as well when we have kids. But it's like a different level because they didn't grow up here.
Let's trash talk them first. No kidding. Okay. So what are some of the double standards we face?
The biggest difference I would say is when it comes to going out.
Yeah. Definitely.
100%. Like I feel like most things like I was able to kind of like do at the same age as my brother, like learning how to drive or things like that. Like it was kind of the same, but the time that I would come home was a vast difference for such a long time. And it would bother me so much. Like when I was with my brother, I would be able to come home at whatever, like we could come home at 3 a.m. and no one cares. But if I'm alone by myself and
you just go to your friend's house.
Yeah, it's not even a safety issue. Like I completely understand if I'm just like out and about, like my parents don't really know where I am and they're just constantly contacting me. That's totally fine. But if they know exactly where I'm at, they'll still expect me home by 10 or 11. Whereas for my brother, it was like, he could come home whenever.
Exactly. It's whenever. The exact same thing for me. That's so insane that you feel that, because we have a lot of friends who are also thisy, but they don't have like brothers. And I think the experience is
so the baseline is a little different. Yeah. Because first of all, like they grew up kind of like not having that comparison. Mm-hmm. And so to them, either A, it won't be like a vast difference. So like they're used to having to come home at like 10 or 11, or like they're just not used to having that strict curfew. Whereas for us, like we just noticed such a strict difference between the curfew that our brothers will have versus the curfew that we'll have. And like, regardless of where we're at, regardless of if it's like a special occasion, regardless of if they know who we're with at all times, it doesn't matter.
It kind of just comes down to that a girl being out or just out with her friends for so long looks worse on the girl than it does when a guy is out with his friends for a long time. And also there's also higher judgment when it comes to, you know, who a girl's hanging out with than for a guy.
I get asked,
who are you going out with? Yeah.
Who's going to be there?
Where are you going?
My brother just says, hey, I'm going out. He could just leave and not just like, have to say anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're just like, oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. Like, be home when you're home. Like, at first it's like, who are you going with? When will you be back? Where will you be? Like, it's just like a series of questions. I feel like for us, we're in that awkward position where we're expected to do both.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, but for me, like, I was always told that I need to get an education. I need to do well in school. I need to get higher education, not just a college degree, but also I need to get married fast. Like it's both sides. We're grown up with the mentality that we have to be independent, but at the same time, we have to get married as well, because that's like our life purpose, like part of it, like half of our life purpose. It's unfair really, because we get like, we have to put up with both expectations.
I feel that my brother was taught more to, you know, have a stable career, but I was taught to, hey, how are you going to balance a career and a family in the future?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. Like, make sure you get a degree so that you could get a job, but also make sure that you're able to spend time with your kids when you have them later on, because you need to get married. Like, it's such a longer list of responsibilities.
So don't take a job that you're going to dedicate your entire life to, because don't forget that you have to raise a family too, which is fair, but I think it's a double standard, because it's raising us with like double the burden that a guy is raised with, which is, I think is like, I feel like a guy should learn how to be a, because I think what happens oftentimes when a guy is just told to focus on like his career and like, you know, making money, things like that, but he turns out to be kind of an incompetent person because he's not, you know, he's not independent enough to, you know, do the dishes, do his own laundry.
Yeah, like he cook just for doesn't himself. Know how to take care of himself.
He doesn't know how to take care of himself because his entire life, his mom just did it for him. Whereas a girl, for a girl, it's like, she also learned how to take care of herself, how to, you know, get a career. She also, you know, she has both sides of it. And so it's unfair. So when that girl and that guy meet and, you know, get married, it's unfair because the girl has to take on double the burden that the guy does.
Yeah, because honestly, I feel like if we're expected to think about being good mothers and a good wife, why isn't a husband why isn't a guy expected to think about being a good husband and a good father? Like, why isn't that on them as well?
It should be. It should be. And I think me and Noshin, as well as many, many other girls are in our generation, we've, you know, put a lot of effort into breaking down that double standard and making progress. And it's a tough journey, but I guess the way we do it is just argue with my parents a lot.
Yeah, same here. Like, especially with, like, for example, like the curfew thing that we mentioned earlier, like it was like little by little. I had to do, like, we had to take baby steps. Like, it couldn't be like one day, like, we had to come home by 10 and the next day we could come home at 3 a.m. Like, no, like we, one day I'll come home at 10, the next time I'll come home at like 10:15, 10:30. And like, you just gotta slowly push the limit until you could get closer and closer to like your ideal situation.
It's the same way for me, but I think.
And then have you also noticed like the difference between like physical appearance and how it's so much more pressure on the girl, especially in brown households, especially when it comes to like your skin color and things like that. I feel like it's really different. Like if a guy is like on the darker side, it doesn't really matter. But if a girl is, then they're kind of pretty for a girl, for a dark girl, rather than just pretty.
Oh my God.
They're expected to use products that are going to lighten their skin, or they're expected to wear colors that don't highlight their dark skin color. And I feel like that's not something that guys have to worry about at all.
That the colorism issue in South Asian communities is one of the worst issues, you know, of all time, because I never hear. So I have family members who are involved in the matchmaking, you know, scene, and my mom is involved in the matchmaking scene. And
is she gonna match you up with someone?
God, no. She said she wouldn't. She's all like, "I don't have time for you. Go find your own person." But the one thing she always hears is, first of all, it's like moms of like 30-year-old guys. I'm like, why aren't you speaking to him directly? And she's like, he doesn't want to. It's just like his mom always just takes control of like the entire situation, and he doesn't fight. Like,
that makes absolutely no sense.
I know, it's so weird. And I never hear like, I want a fair-skinned guy. It's always 100% of time, I want a fair-skinned girl. Coming from like the guy's mom.
Yeah. Or like girls are expected, like if it's super sunny outside, oh, don't go out because you're gonna get darker. Things like that. Like, guys are never told the same things.
Yeah. And it's sad that beauty is such a big part in seeing a girl as like whether she's eligible or not for marriage. Mm-hmm. Whereas for a guy, it's what job he has.
Yeah, it's more always. Yeah, it's more like his qualifications in terms of like academics and like how well he's going to be able to take care of the other person. But for girls, it's more like,
is she a good family woman? Is she pretty? Is she a good cook? And then it's like, oh, but also like, I want an educated girl too. Does she have a good job? And it's like,
yeah.
Like you, like the standards for a girl is like 10 pages long. And then for a guy, it's just like, he's
exactly. Doctor. Yeah. I was actually told that if you're too educated, then the guy is going to get intimidated. So need to be in the middle ground, which is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I don't know about you, but I couldn't care less if the person I'm with does not have the same qualifications as me. That does not matter to me whatsoever. Yeah. But for some reason, it's apparently like a really bad thing if the girl is overqualified, because that means they're just too good for the guy, and their egos are gonna get hurt, is is the main it's some story sort of that
a,
I hear.
It's a Sikh power play. I think that's
exactly
like,
and it's
very
weird.
Antiquated in Bangladesh and like other like Desi communities.
Either you're you have to be educated but not too educated. Like you have to be pretty, but you also need to know how to cook and clean.
Do you have an opinion on mama's boys? You know how a lot of brown boys are like they're entirely dependent on their moms, even in their 20s and 30s.
I think people like that, when they get married, they're just looking for someone to fill that role.
Yeah, just like their second mother.
Mm-hmm, and it's gross to me. I think that any guy who is over a certain age should know how to take care of themselves.
And that sort of a second mother thing is a result of the double standard that mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, people grow up with in Desi households. It's, you know, the boy doesn't have a lot to worry about. So he just grows up, you know, with his mom doing everything for him.
I just don't like when moms, I feel like a lot of issues when it comes to that need for power kind of stems from a lot of mothers who just coddle their sons. Like yeah. they won't really like they'll make their daughters like learn from them and stuff, which is great. But when it comes to their sons, a lot of them will just hold them up in a pedestal, you know, like yeah. they could do no wrong, you know?
Yeah. I think in that sense, we got really, really lucky because mm-hmm. we have older brothers who had to take some responsibility for their younger sibling or siblings, like in my case. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't grow up, you know, fully dependent on, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like my brother is a better cook than I am. Like he's super responsible. Like he knows how to do everything on his own. Like he doesn't need someone to do it for
him. Yeah. Rahik has like a shit ton of responsibilities around the house. So I guess like in that sense, also, I want to say like shout out to my mom who actually works mm-hmm. hard to like to break down the standards herself. Like she's very aware of the kind of double standard that was embedded into her upbringing when she was like growing up, like just like the culture in Bangladesh, like that she's aware of that. And so she actively tries to break it down and, you know, make it so that Rahik and I are raised the same. And so yeah. a lot of like props to my mom for that. Like,
yeah, I feel like when it comes to the going out thing, I feel like our moms didn't really like have to deal with that. I feel like in Bangladesh, like you don't really, or at the time that they were raised, like you didn't really just go out all the time and hang out with your friends like the way that we do, I think. And so obviously it's like a new territory to handle. Yeah. Whereas when it comes to like education, like my mom is the one who has always pushed me to make sure that I am financially responsible and make sure that I'm independent on my own when it comes to finances and not have to rely on someone. Like that whole mentality and that motivation that I need to get an education and I need to have a career of my own, that completely came from my mom motivating me. And yeah. I feel like that stems from like what she's seen like back in her day and like when she grew up and how limiting it is for you to not be able to like stand on your two feet and have to always depend on someone else for finances.
Yeah. Shout out to strong mothers because we were talking about my work ethic earlier and I actually get 100% of it from my mom. My mom is the most career driven person I know. Like my mom is the most hardworking career driven person in the family. And so my desire to just like constantly have, you know, ambition and work hard and get to the next level career wise is completely influenced by my mom. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So thanks Ammu.
Thanks Ammu.
Yeah. So to all the girls out there who deal with some semblance of this, just, you know, fight for progress, but also maybe take a step back. Try to see your mom's side too.
Yeah, I think it's all about like gaining perspective because the only way you could have like an open communication with them is if you're not just attacking their views, but more so saying how you understand it and kind of coming to a middle ground before you progress anywhere.
Take baby steps. That's the important part. Mm-hmm. Take baby steps to get what you want. Yeah. Michelle Obama has this quote that's like, "We raise our daughters, but love our sons."
Wow.
That's
very true. That is so true.
Yeah, it's very prevalent in brown culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing that pisses me off is when people attribute cultural things to religion. It's
I hate that.
Like the negative aspects of culture, and they try to justify by being like, this is part religion. Of Islam. Yeah. No, it's not, bitch.
And half the time, like, honestly, like if you look at the cold hard facts, like it's honestly never the religion.
It's never the religion.
it's always the culture and how like religion has been used to motivate that sort of mindset. But it's just an excuse, really.
Case in point, interracial relationships or interracial marriages. Definitely. Where they'll try to stop, you know, people from two different cultures getting married through some.
Like obviously listed. They're different. There's obviously certain restrictions when it comes to interfaith relationships, which I understand. Yeah. But when it comes to race, there's really no.
In Islam, as long as two people are Muslim, they can get married no matter what ethnicity or culture they're
exactly,
from.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're encouraged to be able to hang out with other cultures, and it's encouraged to learn from each other's cultures and not just be in your own little bubble of, and I understand it. I understand that it's easier maybe with like language barriers. It's easier sometimes, but that doesn't mean it's somehow wrong to be in interracial relationships or marriages.
I think it's better to be in interracial marriages.
Yeah, I feel like it could be beautiful to learn from someone else's culture.
And
ingrain that into your own life. Like, you could learn so much more, but there's just such a stigma around interracial relationships.
Dude, the coolest kids come from, you know, a diversified household of like two cultures.
How do your parents feel about it?
My parents are totally for it. And it's that's really good. Cool. It's good to, it's nice to grow up in a family that's supportive of interracial marriages, because I don't have to deal with, you know, like meeting someone who's Muslim, which is, you know, kind of the harder part, to be honest. Like, who's Muslim, but from a different culture, and then be like, oh, no, you're from Morocco. This isn't going to work.
And like, it limits you so much.
It limits you, especially because we're growing up with more diversity than ever before. Mm-hmm. We're not just growing up in our desi like bubble. We're growing up with people from all sorts of like all different countries. And so,
my parents, I feel like at first, it was really important to them. For me and my brother, for both of us to be with people who are Bengali. But as the years went on and they saw how we interact with others, and like they've met our friends who aren't Bengali and seen how great people they are, they've definitely had an open mind about that. And I don't think they would mind whatsoever at this point. But if you asked me like 6 years ago,
that story
would have been, very different.
It's tough. I get why, you know, a lot of Desi parents would have a hard time internalizing that their child is marrying a different culture, because, you know, they want to continue to like raise, or not raise, just continue to see generations of like Bengali, you know, their like heritage being passed on. And there's a fear that culture gets lost.
Especially because they moved here, and I'm sure there's like some level of guilt that they feel for leaving their own country and having to see their child moving away from that culture in their marriage must be really difficult. But I think what's important is to realize that you're just gaining another culture. You're not losing.
Both sides just have to work hard to make sure they, you know, instill their individual cultural, you know, ideals like into their children. And I agree with the thing you said about, you know, immigrant parents. Like our parents, the second they landed in America, they were confronted with the fear of losing their culture, because like the pressure to assimilate to American culture is so strong. And so what is American culture? Just like the things, like, just, it's like, it's weird when you say American culture, because it's like, what is American culture, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, just to be more American and less brown. Mm-hmm. This is the easiest way to say it. And you can tell what it's like to be less brown and more American. It's hard. Definitely. It's hard to verbalize it, but it's a thing. Shit, this episode is making me realize how lucky I am to have my parents.
Really? Me too.
I feel bad. I'm gonna listen to this episode, and like the first like 15 minutes, we just completely like, we were like, we cried about something as petty as like going out. We're like, ugh, I hate when my mom makes you come back.
Why can't I come home at 2 a.m?
There's people struggling with so much. No one's struggle is invalid, but I can say that I feel like we really touched upon something that wasn't as important as other things. But whatever, it's fine. It's fine.
We're really lucky that that is our most extensive experience of.
I genuinely think I have the best mom in the world. Like, Amu is.
Hey, my mom's the best mom in the world.
Yeah, whatever.
Are you jealous that Busha's going to be my sister-in-law?
Oh my God. I was hoping
we would say Busha. So if you guys didn't know, my brother is getting married to Busha.
Oh, this is basically a family business at this point.
Yeah.
like I'm Busha's best friend. Busha is engaged to Alvi, who is siblings with Nosheen, who is friends.
So you consider me your best friend's fiance's sister? That's all I am to you?
No, you're a really close friend of mine. So.
Okay, that sounded very forced.
Yeah, it's in my script. Don't worry, I wrote it here. Oh my God. Oh, what was I going to just say? Oh, speaking of men, some university, I think it was, I don't remember which one it was. So some university conducted a study where they tested the hypothesis that men actually aren't as interested in smart women as much as they say they are.
Really?
Yes. And so they did a thing where they first asked men, just from the get-go, they're like, hey, are you interested in smart women? They're all like, yes, we love smart women. We would definitely date smart women.
Yeah.
And then after that, they did a second experiment on another day where they put like an equal number of men and women, men from that first, you know, survey, mm-hmm. In a room, and they gave them a test. And by design of the experiment, all the women got higher. Okay. Some of the women got like higher grades than the men.
Yeah.
Just like by design of the experiment. And then after that quiz or test that they took, they asked the men, hey, would you date these women? And a majority of the men said that they would not date the women that scored higher than them.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What? Wow, that is insane.
And so like they did like a number of these experiments, and they came to the conclusion, like after several rounds of experiments, that men in theory, they say that they want a smart woman, but that's only in theory. And in practice, they don't want.
I feel like they want a smart woman, but they just need that woman to be a little less smart than they are.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a huge problem, I think. And I feel like most problems have to do with insecurity, like just feeling like you're lesser than someone. And that's something that's hard to deal with. And I feel like that's where that would stem
from. What is intelligence plays so much into, you know, masculinity.
Yeah, like if someone, I feel like if I am part of a group project or something and it's just with men, I always feel like I have to try extra hard to make myself sound smarter so that they really believe that I'm capable of being in a group with them. Like I really have to prove myself to them before they'll even like pay attention to what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I feel that all the time within even my boy band of people that I've known for a while, like with all the CS kids, I feel like I have to work harder, prove that I'm smarter. Cause I think sometimes their default is that I'm just not that smart.
Yeah. And I don't know where that comes from. Like, where is this idea that women are just somehow dumber?
I don't know. Also like girls don't flaunt their intelligence the way guys do.
And I feel like I hate when you say something that might be correct or that might be intelligent and they act as if it's super surprising. Like they'll be like, oh, wow,
like,
good job.
You're right.
But I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, why is that such a surprise?
Yeah. And like, and the worst part is like when that makes you feel good. Where you're
exactly.
What?
I feel like we've been conditioned to.
I'm like, stop. Really?
I'm smart.
Yeah. Like, that's really cool that I got that right. And I'm like blushing. Like, no, shut the fuck up, Rita.
Yeah. I feel like it like makes us less confident because.
And it plays into that cycle where they're continue to like praise us when we say something smart as though that can't just be a part of our personality or who we are. Oh my God. Angers me that I have to like, I feel like I have to, that's the only times where I feel like I have to be cocky. Like sometimes I find myself being cocky about my achievements or accomplishments or success in front of like a group of guys. Cause I feel like otherwise it's just assumed that I'm not that smart.
Yeah.
And I don't even, and like, if I ask them, if I'm like, hey guys, do you think I'm smart? They'll be like, yeah, you're smart. You're smart.
Exactly. But when you're actually put to the test and you're actually working with them, it's a whole different story.
You can tell because I'll say something and then a guy will say the same thing and they'll all listen to the guy.
Yeah. Or they'll have to, if we say something, it's kind of like, okay, yeah. Like we'll look into it.
Like yeah,
let's see about this.
Inconclusive, but we'll do our research. It's like a hypothesis when we say it. It's like conjecture when we say it. And when someone,
that's happened so often, like not just with like people that I've worked with, but also like professors and interviewers and stuff. And it's really frustrating.
Co-workers too, like for me it's mostly like co-workers and even like guy friends to an extent,
just not
just keeping smart,
just
do what you're doing. You're doing fine.
And like don't be afraid to say your opinion. I feel like a lot of times I'm kind of like, oh, what if I'm wrong? They're gonna think I'm stupid. But like,
oh my god, you have fewer chances as a girl when you're wrong. It's like your entire personality.
Exactly.
They're not surprised, and then you feel bad that they're not surprised. You're like, they're like, Reza, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Like stop. Like enough. Like I'm like, what the fuck? You've been wrong a million times. And like when a guy's wrong, it's like, oh no, just try again. This is just
yeah, exactly. It doesn't really matter. It's kind of just like, oh, like it was just an error.
This is not just a STEM thing, right? This is like more because I actually
don't know. I don't really. This is gonna sound bad, but I don't really hang out with people that aren't STEM. Not because I don't want to, but just because like I'm not around them as often.
Yeah, I feel like STEM guys are maybe a slightly different breed. Like they're just
Because we're surrounded by them. I feel like maybe in certain professions that are also really really difficult, but are dominated by women, like say nursing. Like that's a really difficult profession. But I feel like maybe like that stigma is something
men have a hard time breaking into that.
Exactly. Maybe like I'm sure a lot of men are more expected to be doctors. And so I'm sure they're like a lot more judged if they choose the path of nursing, things like that. So I think
all nurses are judged for being nurses and not doctors.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I feel like it's seen as the easier route when it's literally not. Obviously there are different qualifications, but that doesn't mean that nurses are just people that weren't good enough to be doctors. Not what it is at all.
I think doctors do a lot of hard work, and I don't want to shit on doctors. And listen, I could shit on doctors all day and they don't care because they're making bank and they know they're very confident about the profession. There's no doctor who's gonna be like, Rada said my job is useless. Like whatever. Okay. So I'm gonna stick up for the nurse a little bit. I've spent, you know, quite a few days on the hospital bed myself. Okay.
During your cosmetic surgery?
During my, what they call cosmetic surgery. And I'm just going to say, I feel like, oh wait, actually, no, my surgeon did do the jaw surgery. So, okay, different scenario.
I feel like it's just different. It's just different responsibilities. Like with nurses, you're so much more invested in the patient.
Yeah.
And with a doctor, you're so much more invested in the
procedure. In like a specific procedure or like cure.
Or the medication or the treatment. Whereas nurses, they're in charge of supplying that treatment and medication. So they both have their own positions. Like doctors wouldn't survive without nurses. Nurses wouldn't survive without doctors. Like I don't understand why they aren't, why people don't see that.
Because of like the stigma that like doctors like deserve more respect and money and value than a nurse, I feel like a lot of times patients don't respect nurses as much as they should.
Sometimes
and
doctors don't respect nurses as much as
definitely doctors don't. If you're a doctor and you're wasting your time listening to my podcast, first of all, get back to your stupid patient and B, respect your nurse. I can't imagine. Like imagine if they just took nurses out of the picture and it was just a doctor. Like what is a doctor doing? Like I don't even know. That's crazy. Bottom line is like doctors need nurses, nurses need doctors. Hey Noshin.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself in I don't know if other people feel this, but do you ever just go to sleep and you like peed right before you went to sleep? Mm-hmm. And you go to bed and you feel like a drop of pee in you. And you have to get out of bed and you have to go pee again. And it's not like a full bladder of pee, but it's... Listen, I don't want to get...
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you meant like there's a pee on you. Like you like, accidentally like peed
no,
your
like
pants
urine.
A little bit.
No. No.
It's like, in your bladder still.
Yeah. Like you feel...
No, that happens to me a lot, actually.
Like do you ever just get out of bed 34 times during the night and like go pee?
Okay, not that often, but I think I hate getting up in the middle of the night to go pee. And so I think because of that, I like pressure myself a lot.
It's cold
in nature. No, I need to make sure that all of it is out. So I feel like even if it is, sometimes I'm like, wait, should I go again before I fall asleep or should I not? Like, what if I have to get up again in the middle of the night? Because I hate that. And so I feel like that's when I feel that. But I've never gotten up like a million times.
I feel like the second it doesn't. So like I'll pee and I'm getting ready for bed and I feel like everything's cleared out, right? Hey, listen, if this is TMI for you, I don't care.
It's not.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, okay. I was like, why would this be TMI for me?
No. And like, I feel all fine. And the second I lay down in bed, I just like, my body feels the urge to pee. And I know it's not like a full bladder of pee. It's like a little. Yeah. And you're like, all right, cool.
Not even a stream.
Like no stream, just the smallest drop. And it like, for me, there's like phases in my life where I go through this, where like people will be like, hey man, like you okay? Why are you getting up like 12 times during like the span of an hour?
Okay, and no, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I have experienced. Like for me, it's like maybe like once or twice, but never like constantly.
No, it just like, I feel like that one drop of pee just doesn't go away. Like that need to pee out that, oh my God.
It's just constantly in your bladder.
Like I can't relax. Like it's just there.
You know you should do when that happens? You should just like chug
a
bottle of water.
Oh.
No. Get a nurse. you should just chug a bottle of water and get it all out, you know?
You're just gonna restart the cycle. I'm just gonna keep going, and it's gonna be a stream every time. Like,
okay, the logic is the same as when you get water in your ear, and the only way to get it out is putting more water in to clear out that water. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, but why can't that drop of pee just come out?
I don't know, Rida. Why doesn't that drop of water come out of your ear? No one knows.
I actually don't notice the water in my ear thing that much ever.
What? Oh my God, no, I'm so sensitive to that.
Really?
You've never gotten water in your ear?
No, my earlobes are built different. My earlobes, my ears are built different.
Riley and I recently got our cartilage piercings together.
Yeah.
And in the middle of a pandemic. And
okay, well, you didn't have to. Okay.
Obviously,
are you trying to get us canceled?
No, the place we went to, we specifically selected it because of their procedures and stuff.
They're very safe.
But what I'm saying is, we completely forgot that we're having to wear masks constantly and having to take
hurts like out a of our itch. Ears
constantly, and it was honestly probably not the best decision because every time my mask gets stuck on the piercing, I like regret that we got that piercing.
Yeah,
every single time
it hurt for like 3 weeks. My cartilage piercing. Dude,
it's been 3 months and mine still hurts when I get my mask stuck.
Does it really hurt when you put your mask on?
No, not when I put it on, but sometimes like I'll just not be careful about it and it'll get like tangled.
And then when your hair gets stuck on it.
Oh my God.
It hurts
like the worst.
Bitch. Yeah.
It's so bad.
But it looks really cute. So
it does.
Yeah. I would recommend. I actually want to go back. Yeah. Beauty is pain. Hey, have you heard Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo?
I actually just heard that for the first time 2 days ago.
Thank God.
I know it's like super popular, but like I just heard it and I actually really like it. I know I feel like it's getting like a lot of hype, but also like a lot of people are hating on it because they're saying that she's like a copycat Billie Eilish or something. But okay, first of all, what is the problem with two people having similar voices? I've never understood that.
Oh, I don't even think she has the same voices. I didn't even.
She doesn't.
I thought she was more of like a Taylor Swift. I think it's more influenced by Taylor Swift than it is by Billie Eilish. Because she's like, Olivia's like
Taylor Swift's biggest fan girl. You know, like the whispery voice thing? I feel like it's that.
Now, I can't sing. I don't know why I was trying to do it. Can you do it?
No, I'm not going to do it.
No, she's a fantastic singer, by the way.
But I'm not going to sing on your podcast right now.
Whatever. Don't give them what they want.
I thought it was a really good song.
It's a really good song. I wanted to hit on it. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to hit on it the second people start talking about it.
And for some reason, a lot of times before I hear a song, I'll read the lyrics. Because I feel like when I listen to a song, if I love it a lot, like the tune and everything, and I don't focus on the lyrics, and then I really listen to the lyrics and they're really stupid, I get really mad. And so sometimes I'll listen to the lyrics and like see if it's worth listening to. And the lyrics...
I never do that.
Like, really? No, I do that a lot. And the first couple lines, I was like, like this seems kind of all right. Like, I don't know what this is going to be like.
You got your driver's license last week. That's embarrassing. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
I drove by your house. Like, okay, cool. But then I listened to it and it was so good.
It's beautiful. Like, there's like the part where it's like, Like, it's like, it sounds like a choir singing kind of.
Oh, that's the I love favorite. Any song that does that. Any yeah. song that has a certain section where there's like more harmonizing. I love that.
I can't believe she's 17. It's such a beautifully written song.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy. Good. I want to hate on it. And coming from someone who really wanted to hate on it, it's a really great song.
Yeah.
And it's kind of insane how it blew up. Like, some songs artists release hoping it's going to blow up the way hers did, and you just never know whose song's
going to
blow up.
And this isn't even her first song, is it? Like, she's released other songs.
So she had like a pretty popular song with High School Musical, the series, the thing that she's like the lead of. Mm-hmm. But this is her first, like, I think, single that blew up. And it broke Spotify records.
Really?
I think it broke 2 Spotify records. Yeah.
Which ones?
I think it was just like on like release day, the most downloads or something like that. She'd be like she was like topping charts. And it's kind of insane because this doesn't always happen.
It's one of those songs that you could just replay in the background and like feel like you're just like in this, like when you're driving and you hear that song, I feel like you just feel like you're in
like you're, it's like the soundtrack to like your own sad movie.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw this thing on TikTok that was like, that was this like STEM dude being like, hey man, my calculator history is more embarrassing than my search history. And
what?
I kind of get that. Like,
oh, when you do like 4 + 2,
yeah, just to like make sure 1 + 2 = 3. Like, just I do to that make
all
sure.
the time, all the time.
Yeah, same. It's like,
like, how could you not? Like, you have it there. Why not use it?
Why not double check that 5 + 5 = 10? Because
what if it suddenly is 11?
What if you're wrong and it's okay? People are gonna be like, this is why.
This is why women think you're dumb.
It's not a double standard. It's not them being like
it's just us. Sexist. It's just me and you.
You're just dumb. But yeah. Noshin, you said you liked Adam's episode, the last episode.
I loved his episode. I felt like his opinions were, first of all, really well developed. I felt like he sounded very emotionally intelligent. And also I felt like you guys had really good banter. I liked the dynamic a lot.
Yeah.
I feel
he's
like
one of my closest friends. So
yeah, I think it sounded like it. You guys just meshed really well. Yeah. And I felt like what he said, okay, specifically what stood out to me was when he talked about being friends with someone that you like and having to cut them off after you realize that it's not reciprocated. I felt like I honestly got a wake up call when he said that it's cowardly to have to cut them off because
really
in the first place, because it's so true. It's honestly very true because his logic made so much sense. And I feel like I'd never looked at it that way because it's true, because if you really like them, that means you just truly enjoy their company. Like, it's not because you need anything in return. It's because you truly just enjoy their presence.
But how do you get over them?
That's the thing. I feel like you just have to kind of, I feel like it's easier definitely to cut them off and then getting over them. But I definitely think it's possible to get over someone while still being in the same space as them.
I'd like to figure that out because I guess I do the cowardly thing too.
Yeah, no,
I said. Basically, if I'm in love with someone and it's unreciprocated or I just can't be with them for whatever reason, I have to. Like, it has to be distance and time that gets me over them. Otherwise, I can't. I just can't handle it. Like, I don't want to be, like, if you're in love with someone, I just don't want to be just their friend anymore. Like, it's the fucking worst. But Adam can, and
that's incredible.
Yeah,
I
spend like all day every day trying to be like, are you sure you can do that? Like, that just seems like something that's not like that's, I think that's kind of like a devil's advocate opinion, because I don't think most people like that.
No, I feel like most people can't do that. Like, maybe he's just really good at compartmentalizing his feelings, because, or maybe, I don't know, maybe is it a guy thing, do you think? I don't know, because I feel like most girls I know would not be able to just stay in,
yeah,
like close friends with someone that they really, really like.
Hey, if any guy is listening to this, let me know if it's just a guy, if this is just like a girl thing to, you know, just cut someone off at once, you know, you can't be with them and you're in love with them. But
yeah,
or if it's,
because I feel like it would be so difficult.
Yeah, I don't know, that's really strange. But Adam's episode was great.
It was really good.
Yeah. And no, we got a lot. I heard you know, a lot of feedback on that episode, and mostly positive, like actually entirely positive feedback.
The people really liked him. The only thing I didn't like about the episode was his choice in movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that too, but I thought that was a given, but.
Oh, yeah, his shitty taste in movies.
Yeah, I've tried watching The Passion of the Christ, and I just could not. I could not do
it. Oh, really?
I could not. I think my dad tried to get me to watch it, and I just couldn't.
Adam says it's the only movie that makes him, like, cry.
See, I don't get it. But also, it's, like, a pretty old movie, and I just don't do well with older movies.
Yeah, you wouldn't, honestly, you wouldn't like any of the movies he recommended, except maybe Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I feel like that one got really popular, but I still haven't seen it, but I'm sure I wouldn't mind it. But yeah, the other one, mm-mm.
Anyways, we love you, Adam.
I don't know you, but yeah, I love you too. Just kidding.
I always tell you, right, like Busher always says that Adam's his favorite out of the boy band. I'm not fucking saying this again. Fuck this. I'm cutting this out. Oh my God. I'm just like, I'm listening to the podcast recently. She's like, girl, you curse way too much.
Oh, really?
She doesn't care. She doesn't mind it.
I feel like my parents would mind it.
Oh.
Only if it's in a public platform.
Which is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like, I feel like in person it's not that big of a deal.
Oh my God. Anyways, that's all the time we have for today. This is Don't Tell Amu. I'm Raida. And thank you, Noshin. Oh, okay. Anyways, I'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye.